But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. May God bless the reading of His precious and holy word. Would you go ahead and be seated? Is there anyone in here? Don't respond, by the way. This is a rhetorical question, but I want you to answer it in your own mind and in your own mind only. Is there anyone in here who has prayed earnestly over a situation in your life and you earnestly wanted God to intercede in one direction? And the prayer seemed to go unanswered, unheard. And you wonder, where was God? I remember when I was ministering my little brother, whose 18-month-old son had been killed in a terrible accident. And I remember I lived in Florida at the time, and I flew from Florida up to Indiana where he lived, and I was staying with him. And I was downstairs, and I was sitting on the sofa, and I heard Rusty crying. And I went up the stairs, and he was lying on the floor at the top of the stairs. And he said, "Where was God? If God is so good and so just and so kind, why did God let my son die? Where was God?" I said, "Rusty, there's only one thing I can say. When your son died, God was the same place he was when his son was nailed to the cross and suspended between heaven and earth to die. We do not know why certain things occur. And we won't know until we meet Jesus face to face. Sometimes I think that's a good thing. It hurts while we're here. But I assure you by the word of God Himself that God answers prayer. He did not prevent Jonathan from going into his loving arms at 18 months, but he received him into himself. And though it took a while, Rusty received the comfort of God that he will see his son again. It's not easy when we pray for a loved one who is about to pass over, and we don't want to see him go, naturally. But God has said that He will indeed answer every prayer, and I'm going to show that to you in Scriptures this morning. You might just go ahead and jot down some Scriptures that I give you during the message so you can look them up later. I don't want anyone saying, "Well, I believe it because the preacher said it." It's not good enough for me. I want you to believe it because it's written here. I'm a human being. I am blessed and privileged to be able to stand before you to share the bread of life. But I'm a man. I sin every day. God forgive me. And I pray that every day. Like Paul said, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I ought to do. But I'm nothing special. But God inhabits His praises. He has said that He will indeed answer every prayer. Most of you would be familiar with what was going on during this time of the scriptures that we just read together. You'll know that Paul and Silas were put in prison. And they intended to bring them out the following morning for trial. And as you well know, when a Christian went to trial, they went before the lions typically. In these days, a jailer, the one who kept the prison, was responsible for every single one of his charges. And if any of those men escaped, the jailer would have to serve their sentence, whatever it was. If it was death, if it was life imprisonment, if it was 5 years of hard labor, the jailer would have to complete that sentence, whatever it might be. But Paul and Silas, there about midnight, were praising God and singing songs, singing hymns. And every single prisoner in that jail heard and was listening to these two men who they knew were Christians, who they knew were going before trial in the morning, and it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to be condemned, that they were going to die. And here was two men praising God for where they were, not where they wanted to be. I'm sure they didn't want to be arrested, but they were praising God, and every one of those prisoners heard it. But most of all, God heard it. And God opened that jail. The earthquake came along, and not only did the cell doors open up, but every chain that was on every prisoner dropped off. Complete and total freedom was theirs. In the morning, the jailer came in and he walked up to the prison and he noticed the gates ajar, wide open. And he went in a little bit further and he saw that all the bars were down. And he said to myself, "Self, it's over for me. I'm going to have to serve every one of these sentences." And so he drew his sword and got ready to fall on it. Paul says, "Hold it right there." He says, "We are all here." Every single prisoner was there having a prayer and song fest with Paul and Silas. Not one fled, because they were so amazed at the power of God. And they stayed right there. And the jailer took them out, cleaned them up, fed them. And after he had fed them, he looked at Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The jailer, a Roman undoubtedly, recognized the power of the true living God. He recognized that Paul and Silas had a power that he wanted. They had a peace. They were able to do all things through Jesus Christ. And he wanted that power. He knew that the peace that they were able to share with every one of those prisoners was something to be sought after. A peace that he had never experienced. And in the morning, every one of them were pardoned and permitted to go on their way. You see, God has given you and I a book full of promises. And even I don't know all the promises that are contained in this book. I'm sure there's a lot of promises in here that I don't even know about. But every promise is of God will come true. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 21 for a moment. The old fingers don't work as quick as they used to, so bear with me. Because I like to read the scripture. I don't want to misquote it. But Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing that ye shall receive. Now, I am not, never have been, never will be. Most of you are aware of these type of preachers who were name it and claim it. You know what I mean? You've heard preachers on TV in particular. You send me $50. You send me $50 believing and God is going to send you $5,000. I have one word to say. Hogwash. God is not going to give you something that's bad for you. That same brother I talked about a little while ago called me one night. He says, "You got to pray for me. You got to pray earnestly." He says, "I just bought a lottery ticket." He says, "And that mega bucks is clear up to $500,000. He said, "You pray for me, and when we win, I'll split it with you." I said, "Well, Rusty," I said, "I'm going to pray the Lord's will be done, but don't count your blessings before they happen." I said, "I wouldn't go out and buy yourself a new Cadillac. I'd wait." God's not going to give you something that's not good for you. God only knows how to give good gifts. He knows exactly what you need before, long before you even ask. And he's going to make sure that whatsoever you receive is that which is good for you. Now sometimes that's hard to take because it's not exactly what we want. I remember listening to a pastor one time, and he was talking about the power of prayer and believing and all this. And he said, "Well," he says, "I was told by a pastor friend of mine that he prayed that he needed a new car. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Finally, he was praying for a Volkswagen, by the way. He said, finally, he got a Volkswagen. He says, the pastor says, but you know, the funny part is, the Lord probably had in mind a Cadillac for him. But he was limiting the Lord. He was putting his own human limitations on what he was asking for. You know, the disciples who walked these dirty and filthy streets with Jesus came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. You see, they had been with Christ for a while at that point, and they heard his prayers, and they felt the power, and they knew that their prayers did not have the same oomph, the same power that Jesus' prayers had. And Jesus gave him the model prayer. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer. But I think it's the model prayer. And if you study that, the Lord's Prayer, if you study it, I think you'll come to the full realization that that is the model prayer. Prayer is praising God, getting us ready to receive the blessings. Then it's asking for our petitions. Jesus himself said, what man among you, when his son asks for bread, give him a stone? Doesn't happen, does it? You see, praising God, I say, but when I say this, that prayer is getting us ready to receive. It's just like the fact that we don't know how to pray. We don't even know many times what to pray for. And yet God does. He works his miracles. But we need to pray according to John 15. And this is found in John 15, verse 7. Now these are Jesus' words, they're written in red. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, this is the promise. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But there's a conditional word there. That biggest word in the English language. If. If we abide in him. How many of you, and you can respond if you want to, I don't care. How many of you have ever heard the scripture that clearly tells you what we need is what God's will is? It is the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. That is the key. Because in that, we abide in him. He will give you the desires of your heart. But more than that, and here's the good part, folks. If you abide in him, and his word abides in you, he gives you the desires of your heart because you have his power within you and you know what's good for you. You really do. How many of you have done things or said something and then within seconds, you say, oh, why did I say that? I blew that one. But if we abide, in other words, if we focus our life upon God and Jesus Christ, and we focus in on Him, we learn how to live. And if we know how to live, then the desires of our hearts is exactly what God wants you to have. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find." That is the kind of spirit that we need if we expect God to answer our prayers. The big condition is if. And that is if we abide in Him. If we have Him as our personal Lord and Savior, He will answer prayer. Not all who breathe, we know, shall come to everlasting life. And that's a tragedy. That's a real tragedy, folks. Because it's free. The price has already been paid on a hill called Golgotha. Your life was purchased at a tremendous cost. A cost that you shall never have to pay. That Christ Himself has already paid it. Let us bow. Father, thank you, dear God, for this time together. Thank you for your beloved living word. We praise you, Lord, that you have given us so many promises. So we ask you to abide in us. Let us draw closer to you. Because the closer to you we can draw, the better our lives here on earth will be. We know there's coming a day when we shall stand before the throne. But those of us that abide in Christ, that have Him as our Savior, will never, ever stand the great white throne of judgment. We shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because the great white throne of judgment is the judgment of hell and damnation. But the judgment seat of Christ is for our rewards. It is my earnest plea, O God, that everybody in here has accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior. Help us to understand it's not the Baptist thing, it's not the Methodist thing, it's not the Catholic thing. It's the blood of the Lamb that shall open the gates of glory. And once we recognize that and ask Jesus to forgive our sin and become our Savior, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We pray that you would watch over us for the rest of this service. As we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name, amen.